Caught Offside with Andrew Gundling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes. Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gundling and JJ Devaney. What's up, man?
I love the fact that we are doing another podcast. Feels good. I feel like I'm
alive.
Yeah, that's the word. Alive.
Never felt so alive.
Yeah. Well, we've got an international break coming up, and there's a squad being announced that it's unbelievable, Andrew. The interest in a friendly squad for the US men's national team since it's almost a year since the darkest night. And the interest is huge for this friendly game. More about who's being included that people don't want included than anything else.
I have found in my many illustrious years covering sports.
Howard Cosell.
But I have kind of found over the last, I'd say, 10 years or so that, you know, sports has changed a little bit. In the way that it's covered and in the way that fans want it to be covered, in that with greater access that fans have gotten to, you know, how things are done behind the scenes, it used to just be fans want to know about the game,
right?
What happened in the game. But now, with all this new access to information that fans have, all fans believe that they are a general manager, you know?
100%.
So I have found that there is almost an equal level of interest between, like, the season and the off season. You know, in between, like, the Premier League and the transfer window. Like, the NBA free agency is like an event unto itself. You know, fans are now interested in the rebuild, like what we saw with the Sixers and the process. Like, the U.S. men's national team is kind of in the midst of their own process, their own version of a massive rebuild. And I think that there is a tremendous amount of interest in that, mainly because there are pieces there that we believe are worthy of that interest. If this was a dull roster with no hope, maybe it would be different. But, like, you know, the Sixers had Simmons and Embiid, and it was like, oh, this could be really something. You know, the U.S., Pulisic and McKinney. Like,
but there's also, on the negative side of that, there are totems. There are lightning rods. Uh-huh. There are players who don't even play in the same position conflated together because they represent the other, and the other is the time that we hope has passed where we didn't qualify for a World Cup. And it's amazing just the knee-jerk reaction straight away. And we'll get to it on this podcast because we're not just talking about the US men's national team. We're also going to do a mailbag as well and a what to watch for. So we should mention that. But we will begin with the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah.
And shall I just say it? Michael Bradley.
You want to get straight in there. Well, we should say that the U.S. has a couple friendlies coming up, and that's, of course, why this roster was released. They play Colombia in Tampa on October 11th, and then Peru in Hartford on October 16th.
When, I mean, the Colombia game is a tasty one. No disrespect to the Peruvian fans who proved themselves to be unbelievable at the World Cup.
It's two World Cup opponents.
Yeah, Peru and Hartford. But, you know, actually, they're two pretty good games, pretty good tests. But again, they are very much friendlies. But, yeah, this roster is, I feel like Dave Sarakin's been moving towards this roster for a year now, since he was pretty much installed. He was always going to bow to the demands of the rather fervent and upset fans after the debacle in Trinidad, and he was going to try and sweep the boards, put in young players. And he did do that, and he has done that, and he stuck with that. But now we're seeing probably what's closer to a Gold Cup, World Cup roster.
Well, kind of. Yes, in the sense that Lightning Rod A, also known as Michael Bradley, is on that roster. However, Lightning Rod B, Jozy Altidore, is not. But, you know, by the same token, though, you do see names like Reggie Cannon from FC Dallas, Aaron Long from the New York Red Bulls. You know, some names
Ben Sweat.
Yeah, some names that we just simply have not seen before.
And are curious about.
Yeah, Josh Sargent, who's kind of had some chances, but, like, pretty few and far between. Like, this is, with Altidore not on this roster and Sargent included, this is a major
statement.
Audition, basically, for him.
Well, I think it's a statement. I think that the 6 goals in 10 games that Sargent has got for the Werder Bremen 23s, they're happy to say we are going to try and usher in this era before, I mean, when I say about we, the US men's national team staff, Dave Sarakin, are trying to usher in the era of Sargent even before he's kicked a senior ball for his club. That's not usual, Andrew. That doesn't happen a lot.
Well, we saw it a little bit, right, with Jordan Morris while he was still at Stanford.
We did, but that was Klinsmann, who I always felt was kind of erratic in team selection, squad selection anyway. The Sargent did play against Bolivia in Philadelphia and was quite excellent.
And he's, to a certain extent, I mean, he's proven himself to be really effective in the youth ranks for
I know,
the
but in general international terms, you don't pick a player that hasn't got a club appearance.
You're right.
A senior club appearance.
But these are friendlies. And like we've said time and time again, that's what these games are for. Let's see. Let's put him out there and see what he can do in some of these situations against World Cup opposition. Obviously, Michael Bradley, like you said, is the name that stands out first and foremost.
Yeah, it does stand out. And the reaction to me has been really visceral and kind of uncalled for. If you think that the midfield problems have been solved in the last number of friendly games, you think Will Trapp coming in... I mean, Will Trapp is the one I see suffering most from a reintroduction of Michael Bradley. If you think Will Trapp is better suited to come in and play that kind of midfield role that's expected of Bradley, I'm not so sure about that. I don't see what the big deal is.
That's what I keep wondering. Did people really think that what happened, like that night in Trinidad, was going to be the last time that we saw Michael Bradley wearing this uniform? He's 31 years old, and he's still playing at a high level for his club team, although this season has been a massive failure for them. But he's not going to go quietly. He doesn't strike me as that kind of personality. I'm not in any way surprised to see him back included in this roster, and I would even go a step further and to say I'm not necessarily disappointed to see him back on this roster. A lot of things have been said about him over the last year or so. And, you know, I think that, look, he has done enough. He's been a pretty good servant to the U.S. team over the last, you know, since he kind of burst on the scene as a young player. I do think that he deserves another chance to prove to the coaching staff or whoever is going to be making the decisions, Ernie Stewart, whoever that may be, that he can conform and be whatever they need him to be moving forward, whether that's somebody off the bench like what we saw with Clint Dempsey later in his time with the team, or if he can just, you know, he's been moved around from an attack-minded player to a defensive-minded player. Like, you know, let's see if he can settle in a role, and now with some new guys alongside him, maybe this has caused him to look at things a little bit differently, and maybe he'll treat young players differently. I don't know.
But
I think he deserves another chance.
Did people really think that, you know, we're automatically now going to dispense with Michael Bradley, and what we're going to have is a midfield of Tyler Adams sitting and holding, or Weston McKennie in a two, or something like that? And that's the end of Bradley, forget about it. That there's not going to be some kind of transitional period where Bradley plays a part and maybe is phased out after a while, or as time moves on, you know, the natural progress of players out of a side. That the idea that there'd be this abrupt end for every single player that took the field against Trinidad and Tobago is just like, it's too reactionary of a thought.
It's an emotional response.
Soccer doesn't really work like that.
Yeah, it's a totally emotional response, and I don't think the best decisions are the ones that are made out of emotion. I think you kind of have to take a step back and use a little bit of reason and rationale. Now, I know a lot of people will throw at me that it is reasonable to say he shouldn't be there. He was terrible. He was a problem for them. Look, he was not his best self. But with the exception of Pulisic, no one was. I don't think that, like, because of what happened in not qualifying, that you just wipe out every member of that team that was a part of it. There were failures all around the pitch throughout the course of that process. It's not just him.
It's also a numbers game. If you look at that midfield or the midfield options and you look at experience, there's really nobody that can come close to that level of experience that he has. And I think it would be prudent for any manager. The new manager, by the way, is not going to throw that away. Whoever comes in, never mind Dave Sarkin playing him, whoever comes in is going to be, it's going to be very difficult for them to look at the options they have in the centre of midfield in a particular role and say, I don't need Michael Bradley for a Gold Cup. I don't need Michael Bradley for a World Cup qualifying. It's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, and I do like what Dave Sarkin is doing here, and he talked about this a little bit, in that you know, the Gold Cup right now, say what you want about it, and I can feel your eyes just slowly rolling towards the back of your head.
We need it.
The U.S., we need some meaningful competition. We have to place value on something right now to get these guys in some sort of competitive environment. Friendlies are one thing, but you know, a Gold Cup, it will matter. We'll be starving for an actual competitive tournament. So I like the idea of Sarakin beginning to work in other players. He said, I don't want to just bring these guys back in a week before a major tournament. I need them to start playing together now, whether he's the manager or not. It is important.
So
I like it.
He's done the manager that's coming in a great service. The manager that's coming in is going to have plenty of available data and formation and information on these young players and the mix of players that Dave Sarkin has had over the last year. He's going to be able to watch tape, he's going to be able to see things, and these guys will have been blooded somewhat, so they won't be just raw players he's calling up when it comes to Gold Cup. And look, the Gold Cup for me, the problem with the Gold Cup is I want to believe in the Gold Cup, but I need the opposition teams to believe in it. I need Mexico to put out their strongest team. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about us. But I agree with you. We need something to get our claws into competitively. And that's just what's there. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing else.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that also about Sarakin, because, look, I don't know how this is all going to turn out for him. If I were a betting man, I would say the odds are against him as being the guy who winds up getting this job. I'd be pretty stunned if it happened, just going off of information that we've gotten from guys who know more about this than we do.
Yeah.
But I hope he does get, like, some measure of thanks, some measure of credit for kind of picking up the ball in the darkest hour of U.S. soccer's history, arguably, and moving the ball forward. Like, you know, he's identified a lot of the right guys. It seems like he's identified, you know, where they should be playing. He's given them ample opportunity to make a name for themselves.
It would have been very easy for him to say, I'm going to pad the CV here. I'm not taking over a U.S. men's national team and getting them hammered against France. So I'm going to call in all the old blood, all the old guard, and make sure we don't get a thumping. He never did that.
Yeah.
They never got battered in any of the games, really.
No. And they got a result against France. Like, I guess you could say Brazil, but the scoreline wasn't, I mean, on the field it was kind of a battering, but the scoreline wasn't shameful.
You know, if you're not getting the job down the line, then why wouldn't you try and protect your reputation as manager? And he didn't. He blooded the young players, and you're right, we should give him credit for that.
There are some other names that do stand out to me a little bit. Brad Guzan, it's funny, we just talked about this, that he's back in the fold, man. He's not stepping away from anything. He probably thinks this is still my job, and that's the right mentality to have.
I wonder, will he look at Zach Steffen for one of the games and maybe split time between Guzan and Ethan Horvath? I feel like Horvath wants another shot at playing in that team. No Alex Bono this time, so
yeah. Are there any other names that stand out to you? Because I have a question for you.
Well, I'm going to go back to Josh Sargent stands out for me for the simple reason that it's obviously a vote of confidence in the information they've got from Werder Bremen about him. Kenny Saif as well. Can we get a run for this guy to see exactly how talented he is? How useful can he be? Jonathan Amon from the Danish league stands out to me. There's actually a lot kind of under the radar, but there's a lot up and down the Danish leagues. There is a smattering, shall I put it, of US talent, young US talent, carving a career for themselves, and he's obviously one of them playing at the highest level.
I was reading about him a little bit. He's another really young player, 19, I think he is.
He is, yeah.
And he's so excited about this. He was quoted as saying, "I can't stop smiling" when he found out that he had gotten the call
sure.
For this. fast player, a lot of speed. So I'm excited. He'll be a guy that, you know, I'll be excited to watch play because, you know, we've talked about Timothy Weah in that, okay, it seems like we got a guy now with some real pace, but we don't have a ton of those guys.
No, we don't.
Like, for as much as I like Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, well, maybe it's unfair to say they don't have pace. That's not true. But, like, I want some speedsters.
You're thinking
like,
of
some road runners.
You're thinking of old-fashioned wingers.
Yeah. Guys who can just, like, can turn it on and just, like, beat a guy with pure speed. So, you know, I'm curious about adding just some more, you know, athletes.
And also, you know, let's be honest, we are very thin in the striker position. And maybe you often see it in international football where a winger is converted to play in a more central role. And if you have enough of them, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah. So I have a question here for you. And I actually did this. I filled out what I would have.
Okay.
If we were pretending that the World Cup started tomorrow, do you have an 11?
A qualifying match from this group?
Or even a group stage, like World Cup Qatar was they moved it up. It's tomorrow.
No, I don't have an 11 yet.
All right. So
no, but I'd like to hear yours.
Did your homework. Interesting. Here's mine.
No,
what is that look?
What are you talking about? You're at, honestly.
I have a question here. Let's pretend the World Cup started tomorrow.
I could pick an 11 I'd be fairly happy
with. Here's mine, and you can tell me where I'm right or wrong.
Go on.
I have Stefan as my keeper.
Well, I would go with that.
Okay. Now, here's what I did in defense, and I don't know that I feel good about this, but right now I kind of feel like the U.S. has central defenders that I'm starting to feel good about. But
So you went three at the back.
I did. Sort of out of like necessity of personnel. I don't know if it's what they'll do, but I went Miazga, Brooks, and I did go with Carter Vickers. I'm jumping the gun, aren't I?
No, not necessarily. Okay,
on. Maybe I'm getting swept up a little too much.
Carter Vickers as a third center back.
Yeah.
He certainly has the presence, shall we put it that way.
I mean, but like if not him, yeah.
Okay, go on.
Okay, but then, so then I'm my midfield.
I'm more interested in your wing backs now.
Yedlin.
Okay.
And I still have Fabian Johnson in the fold.
That's all right. Okay.
I don't know what people think about that because we haven't heard his name really. I feel like he's one of the guys that a lot of people think have disappeared off the face of the earth.
You wouldn't consider playing Anthony Robinson there?
Not yet.
Okay. Go on.
We're talking about the World Cup, JJ. Come on.
That we haven't qualified for.
But this is a fake, situation.
Go on.
And then I have Adams, Pulisic, and McKennie. I did not have Michael Bradley starting.
Adams, Pulisic, and McKennie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then up front, I bring back Josie.
Ooh.
And I'm putting Weah in there. Josie holds up play. Weah comes bursting in. Talk about his aggressiveness. I don't know. There's a lot there to pick apart.
There is a lot to pick apart, but it's not awful. It's far from awful.
I wonder if, like, as I was writing it and thinking about it, I was like, you're getting too caught up in what you've seen over these friendlies.
You're not getting caught up in any of the sort. You're looking at it. You put out a team on paper. It's not awful. Hey, you.
Gold
sticker. Terrible. Gold sticker. No, that's not bad. I like your bravery with the three center backs.
I am brave.
Because not the last time we did it, but we did it in a World Cup qualifier in Columbus. Jurgen did it. Mm-hmm. He did it with 2 days to prepare.
Well, that's the thing.
And it fell apart.
Like, if we're going to do this...
It got battered like a piñata.
That's what I'm saying, though. If we're going to do this, we have to do it in games, plural. Not just suddenly wake up one morning and decide, back three tonight. Yeah, we don't practice it, but back three. Like,
that's good. I like that because I will never forget the confusion on Michael Bradley's face as he, when there was an injury, someone got injured and he went over to the sideline to Jurgen and went, what are we doing here?
That was one of the things that was written about in those like hatchet pieces after we didn't qualify from The Ringer and Jeff Carlisle.
Those rather accurate hatchet pieces.
Oh, yeah, very much so. But, you know, they weren't pretty. So,
listen, usually in this scenario, I would pick it apart and mock you. But I'm okay with that team.
Okay. I'm so curious. I'm just so curious this is all going to be.
You need a competitive game more than anybody.
I mean, like, we've seen a lot of Will Trapp. You know, we've seen, like, Kellen Acosta is still in the mix. Darlington Nagbe. Like, I've rejected some of those names for these young phenoms? Like, are they, would they really be so bold? Now, when
if you're a manager, they won't play for you because I'd be your assistant and they've heard the things I said about them.
But like, when the actual World Cup rolls around, these guys won't be so young anymore. The next World Cup is not for four more years. These guys will be like in their primes. So then it's a lot more believable. But, you know, if the Gold Cup next summer, I'm so curious if these guys are, if like, this whole last year, basically, what I'm saying is we've been looking at these guys as, oh, these are just prospects. But, you know, some of them, like, the line is starting to get very blurry between prospects and first-team players.
Can I mention something a little bit off-topic, but kind of on-topic?
Yeah.
Grant Wall tweeted this 10 hours ago. This is a disaster from FIFA. Allowing the 2019 Men's Copa America final and Men's Gold Cup final to be on the same day as the Women's World Cup final shows exactly what FIFA thinks of the women's game. How ridiculous is that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because, like, we covered the Women's World Cup in 2015, and, like, we loved it, and we got so into it. What are they doing?
That's terrible.
That is not.
That is.
That's awful.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, that.
I mean,
you're right. Like that.
What message does that send to the?
That is a thing. Like, think about would that ever be a thing that would have? Would anything ever touch the day of a World Cup final for the men?
Nope.
That is so wrong. I can't believe that they would do that.
It's awful. And Grant tweeted about it. Did a little video for Sports Illustrated that you can watch.
What is the rationale behind that?
I mean, it's CONCACAF on one hand. It's CON the ball on the other, and they're not thinking about the women's game. It's not entered into their thoughts when they set a date. It's not even on their calendar.
By the way, though, that also, like, that's not good for anyone. It's not good for the women that will be taking part in that game, because that should be their day. But, you know, it's also not good for the men. Like, the Gold Cup and Copa America, like, you know, those are also big events, but they will also now be lessened.
It's the Women's World Cup final, though.
Right?
It's enormous.
So this is just like watering down everything rather than propping something else up. This is just like so stupid to do that. And by the way, I can totally see why someone like Grant Wall would be disappointed in that, because there's a good chance. I mean, let's be honest. I'm not trying to have this happen, but there's a decent enough chance that the women for the U.S. could be playing in that game, and there's a decent enough chance that the men could be playing in their game. So like, where's Grant Wall going to go? I think he's got to go to the women, to the World Cup.
It's desperately unfair.
That's so dumb. And it's just like, by the way, like, spread the interest out. Like, get an extra week out of, you know, faces and people being interested in soccer in this part of the world. Don't just put it all in one day. You can spread this stuff out. Oh, it's so dumb. That's so incredibly dumb. I can't believe they did that.
It's dreadful. I had to bring it up. I couldn't let it go.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to digest that, as are all of you. We're going to take a very quick break. But don't go anywhere, because I have a special surprise for my friend here when we come back.
Oh, my God.
Knockout takes. Almunia saves. Knockout follows in. Almunia saves again. Absolutely astonishing. Now here come Watford. Forestieri. Here's Hulk. D-Day!
Oh, back now on Caught Offside.
And there it is.
Yeah, I thought we're not supposed to talk about it. That plays and we move on with the show.
The disputed audio. The audio that nearly brought down the podcast.
You know, I had a guy tweet at me. Because I had said last week that I didn't really want to do this, and I thought our conversation about it was civil. I thought it was thought it was actually cool that we kind of like did it on the air and let people hear like our thought process
behind the curtain
as we make decisions. And normally we don't have that. Like, normally you and I are in lockstep on most things.
Most issues,
but, like, we've been doing the show for. By the way, that was hardly a fight for the people that were like, "Oh, this is so uncomfortable." Like. It was nothing. Like, we have discussions about everything that we do. But I had one guy on Twitter who just, like, he clearly hates me.
Yeah.
Like, it just can't put it any other way. He hates everything about me. And he said that what I did to you was classless. It was unprofessional. I think he called me, I don't know, there were curses. He said that
there
I...
There were curses?
He said, I'm trying to remember if he cursed.
And it was about this.
Yeah, it was about, well, I'm sure it had been building, but this was the cherry on top. And he tweeted it at both of us and said, JJ, how can you let him do this? He's ruining everything or whatever. And he said, at A. Gundling, you need to learn how to be professional. And so I enlisted his help. I asked him, maybe you can help me. But yeah, it was all because of that. It was all because I just didn't really want the Deanie soundbite. But there it was. It happened.
And listen, guys.
And we're all still here.
Yeah. And the reason I just suggested it was not because I want to do weird things. Well, I do, but just not in the podcast. But it wasn't about me. You know, it was a debate, a discussion that we have, which we talk about everything that we do in the podcast. By the way, before we get into the mailbag,
yeah,
those of you, there was a guy tweeted at me upset about adverts that happen in that break. We don't have any control over those.
I don't know what they are. The only advert that we know of is...
It's the read.
This piece of paper that I have in front of me that I'll get to a little bit later. But in terms of whatever it is you just heard before the Deanie goal there, right now I'm sitting here, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're not going to Captain Birdseye's, you know, fish shop and saying, will you sponsor us for this advert?
What was his complaint?
He didn't, I hope
it wasn't like an offensive.
No. He did not. The advert was, I think.
Are you about to rip on whoever it is that's sponsoring?
No,
all
this? This would be very dangerous ground. But he did not agree with a sports podcast. This is the essence of what I took from it.
All right.
A sports podcast having a product like that, that there's no connection between the two, that the product is maybe not sporty, maybe even not, I won't say unhealthy, but not keeping with sports.
What was it, like steroids?
No, yes. I'm
hoping we're not peddling.
Hey, I'm Jose Canseco, and have I got a deal for you?
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
When this is over, I'm curious for you to tell me what it was.
I will, but well, again, we don't listen to them, and we certainly have no say in them. So,
no,
you know,
that is,
leave us alone.
Yeah.
Mailbag, @SoccerPod, caughtoffsidepod@gmail.com. Oh, by the way, please leave a rating on iTunes, because he then went to iTunes and left the last iTunes rating complaining about this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is not fair.
Oh, that is...
If you're going to complain, complain about the drop for Gerrard and Lampard watch or something like that.
Things that you and I have like editorial control over.
Make it content related, please.
Oh, did he give us a 1-star rating?
No, he gave us like 4 or something, but the comment was bad.
Oh, we don't
so need that. So please pile in, give us a comment, rate us. We're going to begin with a sensitive issue. A lot of you have tweeted about this and asked us, are we going to talk about it? I'm not quite sure how much we can talk about beyond what you've already read and saw in the news media, and it's been rightly reported now about Cristiano Ronaldo and the rape allegation against him that was first brought to our attention in Spiegel Online last week. So, I suppose I don't know where we certainly can't add anything new to this.
Look, this is a massive story.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of the most famous players in history, one of the most famous athletes on the planet, who has now had his name brought up in an incredibly awful circumstance. He's denying it, and I think that this will ultimately come down to a situation where, you know, it's going to be hard for anyone to ever truly know what happened, and it's going to be left up to the general public, I think, to just determine who you believe to be the more credible person in this situation.
And now, the Nevada state attorney is going to have to see if there's a case, if Ronaldo has a case to answer in this.
Right. Now, all I can say is, because we are not going to sit here and say, oh, he did it, or oh, she's a liar.
Or even parse through the documents that Spiegel say they have.
It'd be totally irresponsible for you and I, or really for anyone, to just like start throwing things like that out there. All I can say is, like, I watch in situations like this people's behavior, people who are accused. I watch their behavior, and I think, what if that were me that was being accused of something? And what if I was innocent of it? You know, I can't even begin to think like I would just like anybody who was willing to listen, I would go and I'd go crazy. I'd go on every interview show imaginable. I would sue anyone within the realm of possibility who has anything to do with what I believe was slandering my good name. Now, maybe that's unfair because maybe people have lawyers that they pay a lot of money to who know a lot more about how to handle situations like this if you are innocent of the crime. They know a lot more about it than I do. But, you know, I look for those things. Like when, you know, I remember when like all the steroid stuff was going on in baseball with like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, and you always heard them talk about, you know, lawsuits. Well, I'm going to sue this publication. I'm going to sue this person. And then you waited to see if they did it. And oftentimes they didn't because oftentimes they were afraid of what might be found in the process of discovery, which happens before a trial, a civil trial begins. So I look for those things. And, you know, that some of that will factor into whatever it is my belief is when all this is said and done.
But this is now,
we're never going to know. We're never really going
to
know.
This is now an active investigation, and due process has to take its course. And also, I would say to people, it was, you know me, I spend too much time on Twitter. But it was interesting to me to see the comments when a journalist from Spiegel, who was involved in the reporting of this and the investigation into this, when he would tweet out about the article, or even someone else in football who was a recognised journalistic voice calling into question what's going on here. It was disappointing to see how many people would get into the comments straight away with almost like a fanboy analysis. Like, that has not... You've clearly not read the Spiegel article. You've not considered the information as we have it at hand. And I would say, people, stay off Twitter with this stuff. You know, there are two parties concerned, and this woman deserves respect. And I think Catherine McGarrah deserves, you know, to be heard and to be listened to. And Ronaldo equally deserves a chance to defend his name. And that's where I'm at with this until... Because, look, it's playing itself out as we speak.
Absolutely.
Right now. So I think that's the best way to...
Ronaldo said here, I firmly deny the accusations being issued against me. Rape is an abominable crime that goes against everything that I am and believe in. Keen as I may be to clear my name, I refuse to feed the media spectacle created by people seeking to promote themselves at my expense. My clear conscience will thereby allow me to await with tranquility the results of any and all investigations. His attorney had threatened to sue
Spiegel last year when they initially made an article. It was last spring, actually.
They said that the report violated Ronaldo's personal rights, quote, in an exceptionally serious way. Ronaldo had said, you want to promote by my name, it's normal. They want to be famous to say my name, but it's part of the job. I'm a happy man and all good. I don't know.
Well,
I
look,
don't know.
Look, I would tell people to obviously listen to what Ronaldo has to say, and I would encourage people to read the two articles, which are lengthy articles in Spiegel about this case. And that's all we can say right now, really. Franny Rue wants to know about comments I made about Wolves and ethics and how they may have got to the Premier League. Basically, Franny, I said this before, there was an EFL investigation into Wolves and the way that they acquire players and the role of Jorge Mendes in the club. And it's all available. I would direct you towards David Kahn's article on Wolves and their owner's Fosun. And
But what is the gist of it exactly?
That Mendes helped Fosun in an advisory capacity in their takeover of Wolves, and also advise them on the purchase of players. EFL rules and Premier League rules say a agent cannot be on the board or have an actual paid job. He says he was just in an advisory capacity. That brings up ethical rules. Also, right before Fosun purchased Wolves, Fosun invested in Gestifute, which is his company. The company that runs his agency. So those are questions.
Right.
And there was an EFL investigation into them, and they were found not to be in breach of any laws. That's all it is. Jerry Kelly, If you could change the MLS playoff format, how would you do so? I'm asking the question realistically, and by that I mean that playoffs are definitely happening and the amount of teams that qualify won't drop either, because there's no way the owners would allow a decrease. P.S. The Revs are going to come back with a vengeance.
Ooh.
In 2019. I wouldn't change anything with the criteria you've laid down.
Yeah,
how can you?
I mean, the one thing I would say is, yeah, if we have to keep it at six teams, then I'm comfortable with this current format, the top two getting a bye.
You have to have something for finishing in the top two in your league. You just have to.
A playoff for the other four, and then the two leg after that. So, yeah, if we took that out of it, the fact that it had to be six teams, I might say just get it down to the top four and just go like that, to add maybe a little bit more importance into the regular season. But
I'm generally
okay with the playoff system.
Me too. Josh Rivera. JJ and Andy, I love the fact people are calling you Andy, because you don't really like that.
No, I don't. And now that that's out there, it will only make people want to do that even more.
Old Spursy Andy launched this, though.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yep.
I've been listening to the podcast for about 2 years now, as I got into EPL 3 years ago, and have thoroughly enjoyed your passion, bickering, and Simpsons analogies that make the show stand apart from other soccer podcasts. You should hit Old Gil at some point. We haven't had Old Gil in a while.
Yeah, where is that guy?
You guys remind me of my friends and I talking other sports, as most of my friends are not soccer fans. Caught Offside is easily the most engaging and entertaining podcast I've heard. Stop it. You're too nice. But please go on. And I appreciate all the time and effort you put into the various leagues, as well as the US Men's National Team and the World Cup this summer. Here's the kicker. My wife and I are heading to NYC for our honeymoon from October 11 to 15. I would love to say thank you for your work on the podcast and giving me Tottenham Hotspur and the Help a Fan this year.
Oh.
By buying you both a pint at a soccer bar or pub of your choice. Andy, we can call this a Tottenham fan date. I'd love to learn more about the club. If you guys are free anytime during the 5 days of our trip, please let me know. How nice is that?
Wow, did you get the dates?
The October 11th to 15th.
Oh, it's coming up very soon.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this might have to happen.
Yeah, but your social awkwardness, particularly amongst strangers, will stop this.
You've painted that picture.
Yes.
I think when people actually meet me, they'll be pleasantly surprised that I'm like a functioning human being.
But before that, you'll be like, oh my God, what if
he's... Oh, this is bad. This is really bad.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
This guy, this is probably all a setup. He's going to steal my wallet and beat me.
It's an elaborate ruse. Yeah.
Oh, this is bad. This is really bad.
But that's such a nice offer. We get invited all over the place now. We're going to have to start Iowa, Californian Vineyards, out for a pint. We're going to have to start calling these in.
I was just in Nashville and got a tweet. I didn't even remember mentioning on the podcast that I was going to Nashville, but I got a tweet from the Chelsea supporters club about going to watch Chelsea Liverpool with them. But unfortunately, by the time that game was going on,
I was too scared.
Well, no, we had just, our flight had just landed.
Right.
And then we went out to watch.
Lovely invite.
To this place, Pinewood Social, we went to, which was so cool. It had a bowling alley. We watched the Syracuse game there, which was also a disaster. But that was incredibly generous of them to reach out. I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
Lindsay Miller. Hey, C to the O to the P. Are you with me? She's trying to do a rap.
I like it.
Thank you, Lindsay. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I second all the positive notes everyone has been sending, so I won't launch into epics infused with your praise. You've made a powerful enemy, Lindsay. I expect this. I did want to address the constant stress Andrew seems to be under generally. No. Every pod about keeping it under an hour and offer solution your data nerds may be hiding from you. Hmm. I personally listen to and download all of my podcasts from iTunes, as I'm sure many of your listeners do. But as you may well be aware, there are tons of other places people could be accessing your pod from. If I do a quick online search, there are already over 10 that show up as options on the first page, including ESPN Radio, Player FM, Pod Fanatic, and the list goes on. I bet you we're on some weird sites.
Pod Fanatic?
Never heard of it. So here's a fun fact about that little tidbit. Some podcast systems cut the pod at exactly the hour mark. Really? I'm sure you're saying, why would they do that? Good question. I don't have that answer. But I do think it's extremely suspicious that some of your listeners just happen to stop exactly at the hour mark.
Well, it's not exactly. We use that as a gauge, but it's more like the 50, 55.
By the way, Lindsay, the late...
But that's... I didn't know that there's... Why would they do that?
No idea.
By the way, stop downloading your podcast from the networks that do that.
Yeah.
That's weird. We're not the only podcast that sometimes is over an hour in length.
No, we're not at all.
Hardly.
Can I say this, though, that the analytics are in, and when we do go over an hour, we're still between 76 and 86.
Oh, see, now you're going percentage. Like way like Bill James.
Yeah, I've gone
here.
Too far. I think a visit to ye old analytics department is in order so that you can set this straight. You, Andrew Gundling, are being taken for a ride. Keep up the great pottery. Thank you, Lindsay. That was a great email. Thomas Brazel, another tough weekend for us Manchester United fans. Stop smiling, JJ. A few weeks ago, another United fan wrote in about how we needed to stop with the Jose out banners and come together to support the player, manager and players alike during this... Support the club, manager and players alike during this tough start. While I concurred to a point, I'm beginning to think that we're running out of time with Jose. To be fair, I don't think our weak start to the season is entirely on Jose's shoulders. While we can criticise his lineup against West Ham, yeah, you can. That is still a team that should be capable of winning that match. Clearly not. The players simply seem bereft of motivation and desire to win. Since we can't rid of the entire squad or spend 200 million plus in January to bring in new players, are we to the point where the only way to dig out is to sack Jose and try and get a new manager bump? I'm beginning to think so. Your thoughts? Who, though?
Well...
And, like, a new manager bump. Okay, but, like, a bump? This is a thing that's in tailspin.
Right. We're not talking about a side that's trying to avoid relegation.
No, but...
Manchester United expects more than just, like, let's just win three games so we can breathe a little.
I mean,
like,
didn't Jose give you a bump against Watford and Burnley?
Yeah, but that's... But who is the interesting part to me that you say there? Because Zinedine Zidane's name has come... up this week simply because he's the most high profile manager who doesn't have a job right now, and Manchester United is an incredibly high profile
job.
But
that's a risk in and of itself.
And even aside from that, Zidane apparently has called Mourinho because he's seen his name coming up,
and
he called Mourinho to say, look, I am not going after your job. Zidane can't help it that the media is going to naturally use his name in this because of who he is and how high profile he is and the success that he had with Real Madrid.
Now,
Zidane says he is not going for this job right now.
Now, sorry to cut you off, but there's a flip side to this coin that when you select five at the back against West Ham and you concede after 5 minutes, that anybody could come in and do a better job in terms of team selection and could get this team playing again. But I'm not sure I believe that. Marcus has sent in a Lampard-Gerrard watch.
Oh, my.
It's very short.
Oh, my goodness.
Lampard and Gerrard, we're keeping an eye on you.
Well, they both lost at the weekend. That's it. So Rangers lost to Livingston, and Derby County lost as well after a pretty impressive victory over Manchester United. But they did draw today against Norwich, so
okay,
that's something.
As you're listening to this, Rangers may be in action right now in the Europa League, or may have already been in action against Rapid Vienna. So I don't know how that's turned out. We're recording this prior to that happening.
But if it's disastrous, it will make
next week's Lampard Gerrard watch.
Eduardo Romo, I was in the middle of listening to your latest pod and burst out laughing to your bickering about using the Troy Deeney goals. After a Troy Deeney goal after ads. I think I'm on JJ's side on this one. Sorry, Mom. But maybe instead of just using Troy Deeney's goal, you can choose to use a different historic best goal for each episode. That's probably asking for a lot, so maybe not a great idea. Anyway, start releasing daily pods.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Start paying us.
Correct. It seems like Mexico and the US are fighting it out for Tata Martino. Would you like to see him as the next US head coach, and why?
Well, I've said for a while now that I would be fine with that if that's who they landed
on. I was up until the weekend, until I saw
Atlanta lost a game to one of the other best teams in the league.
No,
and now you've disqualified him as the manager.
No, I'm looking at the Atlanta defense, and if that's the way he sets up his defending, you, sir, are not fit to manage the U.S. men's national team.
So there's 63 points that they've amassed, like... the defending that's happened for them throughout the course of the season,
no,
the prolific goal
I'm
scoring.
Being facetious. I'm not against it. I'm not against it.
That I believe that he ticks a lot of boxes in this situation that are important. Familiar with American personnel from now being here in the U.S., familiar with international football from his time with Argentina, familiar dealing with high-profile players from his time with Barcelona. It just, I don't know, it just seemed, you know, and high-stress positions. It just seems like he's
confidence.
He just kind of is like a his resume just seems to make sense. Now, that, you know, that's on paper.
Also, this is a scenario in which he will enter into where he might look at the players available and think, I don't fancy it.
Maybe.
He won't have a striker like Joseph Martinez available to him. That's
certainly
for sure.
True.
John DeLorme, our penultimate email. Really appreciative of your bi-weekly podcasts and positive take on the global sport. I've been listening for well over a year now. I am currently a Peace Corps volunteer serving in Morocco.
Oh, cool.
I've always been a huge soccer fan, but I became more obsessive when I came to Morocco. So many people here are soccer fans, and my passion and knowledge of the game has actually helped me with my work. A lot of our community development work is focused on integration. The fact that everyone in my small town in rural Morocco knows I enjoy and play soccer helps me connect with people. So thank you for helping me help others. Also, being away from home can be isolating and kind of lonely sometimes. Your pods are welcome distractions and really mean a lot on the days when I don't have much to do. We are pretty much a boredom killer. People in my community sometimes, quite comically, can't pronounce John correctly. Some actually just call me Tottenham because they know I'm a supporter. I love it, to be honest. Nice email there. And finally,
as far as nicknames go, that's not the worst I've ever heard.
To be called Tottenham?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Michael Bergman. Absolutely love the pod. First time writing in. Andy, I'm moving to the Stamford, Connecticut area from Austin, Texas in about a month. I'm a big Spurs fan, and I don't know what area you live in, but I could be your Spurs venting buddy, and you could teach me about living in the Northeast. Are snow tires a real thing? P.S. I have young kids too. We could swap potty training stories.
He so says, this is happening.
He says,
now.
Joe, we were setting up dates for you.
Yeah, my.
But I
wanted to turn this into like a whole bachelor experience.
Oh yeah. Guys, we talked about this off air. So, or did we talk about it on air?
I don't know, actually.
Oh, right. So what I wanted to do was it would be the Spurs Bachelor with Andrew Gundling, and you would go on dates with people, both men and women.
Oh yeah.
And you would then. At the end of it, a la The Bachelor, you would decide who you want to pick, and you would say, I give you this Danny Rose.
Right, it would just be like his head on a stick.
His head
like
on a stick or something like that. I give you this Danny Rose. And so you'd make it into the next round. And we'd do a whole thing. And it would be presented by Glenn Hoddle.
He's the Chris Harrison of this.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Not Gary Lineker.
Oh, Lineker would be better. Great. Yeah. What am I talking about, Glenn Hoddle? Gary Lineker. Yeah. Wow.
Hey, I'm game.
So it'd be The Bachelor. I need a better name for that.
More like Tottenham themed name.
Yeah.
We'll sit on this and we'll think about it.
Yeah, let's trash that one out. So thank you, Michael Bergman, and everybody else. And there are a ton of emails left to get to. I will get to them and keep them coming. CaughtOffsidePod@gmail.com.
There you go. Great mailbag. That brings us to what to watch for in a moment. But before that, oh boy, JJ, these days you can get practically anything you want on demand, like this podcast, if you will.
Yeah, you can get it on podfantastic.com.
But did you know you can even get postage on demand? All you need...
Shut the front door.
All you need is stamps.com, and it can be yours. With stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office right from your desk. You can buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you're done.
It can't be that easy. It can't be.
But it is that easy, and there are so many times when I find myself in need of a stamp. People don't send letters often enough as a correspondence, and I think that it's a thing that we should get back to. I think it's more personal. I think it means more. Should we give out the address of this office here, and instead of maybe add to our email tweet segment actual written correspondence?
We've already had one. It just I can't believe I didn't put this in mailbag. Rod Murphy of Michigan sent me the most beautiful handwritten letter to this office, and I read it and I've cherished it, and I'm going to respond in kind, and I'm going to use stamps.com.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the policy if you're allowed to just give out I can probably give out this address.
Of course,
right?
You can.
125 West End Avenue, New York, New York, 10023. Get on stamps.com, get yourself some stamps, and mail us letters.
You'll do well to top Rod's. It was wonderful.
That's right. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale in case you guys want to send us, like, real gifts. I'm not soliciting that for
body
the record.
Body parts, but, hate mail, gravel.
Here's my ear that I listen to your podcast with. You can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time. This is fantastic. I'm like genuinely excited now. Right now, use Offside for this special offer. OFFSIDE. You get a 4-week trial, which includes postage and that same digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Offside. That's stamps.com. Enter Offside. OFFSIDE.
I'll tell you something, Stamps.com, you have surprised me. I'm so glad they sponsor us in some way.
What to watch for the Premier League. Saturday, 10 a.m. No early game this weekend. No 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time game, which is huge in fantasy soccer leagues around the country because it's very early to wake up and set your lineup.
It gives you that couple of hours to think about it.
Yeah, to like have a breakfast with your, you know, at the kitchen table rather than in the living room where the TV is or whatever. Leicester City and Everton. JJ, is Gylfi Sigurdsson beginning to come to life for Everton? Is he now finally being used in a way where he is most useful, kind of in that number 10 role where it did not really seem he was being used last season? Two goals over the weekend. Could have had a hat trick, put a penalty off the crossbar. What,
who did we talk about moving centrally to kind of figure out this goal-scoring drought for Everton? We talked about Richarlison. We talked about that they needed to figure it out. I think they might figure it out if Gylfi can keep this going.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the number 10 role now.
He'd need a few more tap-ins kind of to balance out the blockbuster spectacular long rangers.
Well, he is good at that. I mean, it's still a large price tag that he kind of has to live up to. What was he, £45 million, I think? So before we've decided that he's finally paying dividends, we have to see it, I think, a little bit more regularly. But I think what Everton fans saw from him last weekend had to be a real boost to morale around looking for that playmaker.
Definitely, because he, again, I use the term, he's kind of been a totem for poor spending over the last two seasons. And if he can turn out to be the player that...
Sort of. I think Everton fans, he hasn't been a huge success, but think of some of the other guys that they brought in, you know, last...
Klassen, yeah, guys
Rooney,
like that. Yeah.
You know, Michael Keane hadn't really kicked on, and I think more may have been even expected from him than
you're right.
I get what you're saying, though.
Can I just make a comment about Leicester?
Yeah.
One of our listeners, I think his name is James, he's a good guy, regularly interacts on Twitter, sent me an interesting link from our friend Daniel Story, who joined us on the show a few weeks back. Daniel's writing with 442, and he wrote a really good thing about Puel expectations, and it's very, very... It's a worthwhile read when we're trying to assess, are Leicester good? Is Puel doing a good job? And how everything's kind of been skewed by that 15-16 season.
I was thinking about that recently because I was just kind of looking at the table and quietly they're eighth, which I think under any other circumstance you'd say, look at Leicester, just like doing a good job, solid. But you're right, because of that one season, it's like you wonder what is good enough.
But Daniel Story lists the odds for the sack race, and Puel will be in that list close to the top.
What's his deal? Why does everyone just not like him as a manager? Is it because he doesn't play
We
were really down on Southampton after they fired him.
Yeah, and I think the perception was that he didn't play particularly entertaining football at Southampton. But I think he's just done a solid job and some solid recruiting as well, considering James Maddison being brought into the club and doing well. I don't know. It's a good article, and I thank James. I hope it's James for tweeting it onto us.
Leicester, really, that. Really solid side. Absolutely. Saturday, 12:30, the low morale cup,
the commiserations derby
between Manchester United.
Have these managers
and Newcastle
ever been? Since they faced each other in such a position. Like, these guys were once top of their tree. Think about the Chelsea-Liverpool semi-final in 2005.
Yeah, great call.
Think about that. The peak of their powers. Now look at them.
Well, yeah.
And
well,
in one
the
case...
The now look at them, though, is not totally fair to Rafa. Now, he wound up at the fact that he is at Newcastle, no offense to Newcastle, like, maybe that qualifies as now look at him. Like, because Rafa was managing in the Championship 2 years ago.
Right, fair.
But, you know, some of the state of that club is not necessarily his doing. I think he's done a good job.
I would
say
all of it is not his doing.
Right.
Let's be fair.
Right. Well, he is the manager. He does.
Who gets no money to get the players he wants.
I hear you.
Mike Ashley.
But Manchester United, man, it just feels like with each one of these games against each one of these mediocre opponents, Valencia included, by the way.
Yeah, that's fair.
You just wonder, like, boy, that rubber band that you just keep on pulling, at some point it's going to snap. And, like, which one of these games, if they continue to struggle, this one at home, where we just talked about on our last podcast on Wednesday, where we talked about how United are struggling at home right now, that it's kind of a toxic place where you got an angry fan base booing their own team. Boy, it's getting, if you're Josie, the heat is getting mighty hot right now.
It's extremely hot. And you know what, though? I was just thinking about Newcastle there, Andrew. It's 10 years since they were in a worse managerial position. Joe Kinnear had just been installed. And it's 10 years to this week since he decided that this was the best way to really introduce himself to the press.
All right, Lucy, front Simon Burke. Me. Who? You're a Okay, I'll send it to your face. Good. All right. Niall Hickman.
It's me.
Out of order. Absolute f***ing out of order. You are.
I'm going to need you to decipher.
Yeah, so Kinnear is given the job and things are written about him straight away and about the job he's doing at Newcastle, and it's in the early days, it's in its infancy, and so he doesn't really know the press guys. So this is the press are in front of him. It would have been the written press because we have no cameras, we have only audio. And he comes in and his opening salvo is to look for, I think it was Simon Bird. Which one of you is Simon Bird? And the guy puts up his hand. And he Kinnear decides to call him a. Should I do it? No, the worst word you can possibly call someone.
Yeah.
And then he goes around the room. He literally picks out the people who've written things he hasn't liked and attacks them. It's about 10 minutes long, and that clip doesn't do itself justice. If you can find it on YouTube, it's hilarious.
Wow. Let's see. Sunday now, 7 a.m. Fulham and Arsenal at Craven Cottage. Petr Cech will be out for roughly a month. So here we go. It's Leno time.
We called it.
Yeah. This will be his chance, I suppose, to...
cement himself as the number one in the absence of Petr Cech. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
If Leno plays well here, a couple clean sheets, but maybe just as importantly, good with his feet, which is a thing that Unai Emery is asking of the keeper.
It's essential.
Then I don't know. I don't know what the future is for Petr Cech. Like, I'm sure there will be another club, maybe not in the January window, but in the next transfer window sometime that he might want to go off to and continue to start. Like, look, Iker Casillas went to Portugal to continue being a number one keeper. So who knows where Cech could
wind up. But even look at Arsenal. Ospina is now number one for Napoli.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll look at that and see there's maybe an Indian summer to his career.
Yeah.
Thankfully, FIFA 19 have corrected him. They had him sat down in a suit but with his helmet on for one of their whatever simulator mode it was. You're supposed to be off the pitch in this mode. And he sat in a seat. And they left him with the helmet on. So FIFA's update, thankfully.
They think he just wears that around town.
Yeah. And in fairness to Petr Cech, he showed a sense of humor with it because he tweeted back, "Oh my God, this is so wrong or so false," or something like that. "I would have been wearing a tie." Instead
nice.
Of making well a comment played. About that.
By so the way, I did want to mention Fulham here for a moment because you know how excited I was about Fulham coming into the season, and they are really letting me down, quite frankly. One win, two draws, four losses, 17th in the table. Here's what their manager, Slavisa Jakanovic, had to say about their current situation. He said, "We must understand where we are and that we could pay a really expensive price if we don't adapt ourselves to this. We are in a kind of a growing up process. There is big room for improvement, and we need to be more brave and more consistent and do everything to find a faster improvement." He is basically sending out the warning flare right now. If we don't get better, we're going down. And that would be, of course, devastating to me.
Yeah, not to mention the good people of Fulham. But I do think there was a lot of changes made from the team that came up. A lot of new personnel brought in, and all of a sudden, it wasn't gradual at all. It was a huge lump of new talent come in, and it hasn't gelled.
Well, no. Well, some
and
of
it's going to take time.
Some of it, Tom Kearney has been dealing with an injury, and he was obviously a huge important piece of their midfield last season. You know, but like you talk about some of the new faces that have come in. Jean-Michel Seri has been one of their best players, who was their big money signing this offseason. So I can't look at him and say he's been the problem. You know, they locked up Mitrovic, who has been good for them so far.
Excellent.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is some of that. Andre Schürrle maybe hasn't quite gotten going the way we would have thought.
Vieto played. Look at the midfield, Andrew. Vieto, Anguissa, Seri, Ryan Sessegnon, like that's the most familiar face out of that midfield.
Yeah, he hasn't been Schürrle spectacular, although I did see Sessegnon hit the post over the weekend. But yeah, I don't know. They've just been, and look, they've had a couple difficult games, you know, and this is going to be another one, obviously, coming up against Arsenal. But it's been a little bit disappointing so far for a team that I really thought highly of. But there's still a lot of season to go. And then Sunday, 11:30 a.m., Liverpool and Manchester City. Liverpool's gauntlet continues.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's an incredible run of games. And, you know, Wednesday night against Napoli wasn't good. There was an excellent performance, I thought, in many regards against Chelsea, but without that killer touch, without that finishing touch. Thankfully, that was supplied by Daniel Sturridge, who pulled the game out of the fire, really, when I thought after the Shaqiri miss, Liverpool weren't going to get back into that one. And now this game takes on huge importance because we're in a little bit of a wobble. Losing away to Napoli, that can happen in Europe. But they seemed leggy, they seemed disjointed, and you're hoping Klopp can put that right in a few days.
And especially also that if they're leggy and they're distorted, like you say, one of the guys who you would think could be a stabilizing force would be Naby Keita in the midfield.
And someone who can link that midfield and that attack and get those driving runs. And
he went off injured midweek against Napoli.
He was taken to hospital as well, so we have to see how that has panned out.
Yeah, I mean, look, fair or not, with Liverpool having just come off a draw against Chelsea and having lost to Chelsea in the Carabao Cup before that, like you said, there's the wobble. And now with Manchester City on the brink of getting Kevin De Bruyne back, it kind of feels like this match will reshape or shape in some way how we feel about who, through this point in the season now, is the leader in the clubhouse for the title. It's like I said, it's super early, but you know, this is what we do. We try to look at things and make predictions.
And I also think Manchester City need a performance too. And especially considering the introduction, the firm introduction of Sarri into the title race. Sarri's Chelsea are now, I was so impressed by them last weekend. I thought they were excellent, and I cannot believe how quickly those players have adapted to what is a beautiful brand of football. And City need a response, not just for the league, but to show the league they're still top dog.
Yeah, Eden Hazard, you mentioned from Chelsea, clearly the player of the season right now. But as for Manchester City, it does feel like some of their playmakers are springing to life. Raheem Sterling has 4 goals this year, and we talked about it a little bit after the Napoli game, but or not Napoli, the Hoffenheim match for City. But Leroy Sané has come back into the lineup, and he is playing, I don't know if it's a chip on his shoulder or if this is just how good he always is, but he's been great for them. But Pep is like pumping the brakes on the praise for Sané, which is interesting. Pep is really man-managing this guy in an interesting way. Here's what he said about him. He's playing really good in the last games, but our profession is so demanding, and we have to do every single day your best.
It's the intense consistency that he expects from his players.
But when he says every single day, I don't think he's talking about consistency match to match. He's talking about, I need to see this from you in training. If you're not training hard,
right,
I have players that I will start ahead of you. I've shown you that I will do that. It's interesting to watch this Pep Sané dynamic play out. And then MLS, JJ, we'll go through this quickly now. Saturday, 3 p.m., Montreal Impact, Columbus Crew. As Montreal's roller coaster ride to end this season continues, they lost 5-0 to DC United last weekend after, you know, a week or two before they had crushed the Union. Like, they've just, It's been crazy over the last few weeks. And now Wayne Rooney and company are just within 2 points of the playoff spot and have two games at hand. So it's getting a little nervy for Montreal right now. Saturday, 3:30, Atlanta United FC and the New England Revolution. Atlanta went to New York and lost 2-0 in a match that apparently was so important and so profound that it has now removed Tata Martino from consideration as manager of the U.S. men's national team, according to J.J. Devaney.
That's not what I said. I was being facetious. I just said I was stunned at their defending, particularly on the second goal. It was so polite. Go ahead. There you go. There you go, Mjoil. Just run into the box.
And the Red Bulls did it without Bradley Wright Phillips, and this win drags the Red Bulls back into Supporters Shield contention. 1 point back of the aforementioned Atlanta United FC. And in the process, the Red Bulls also clinch a top two seed in the playoffs. So they will have the ever-important first-round bye. And last but not least, Saturday, 8:30, Sporting Kansas City and the LA Galaxy. Here they come. Here come the Galaxy. Back-to-back three-goal wins. They're 2 points back of Real Salt Lake. I don't know. We're talking about new manager bounces. It seems like maybe they've gotten one since the arrival of Dominic Kinnear.
Maybe. What I'm most interested about is the reaction if Real Salt Lake get caught and end up outside of the playoffs. That, to me, would be very, very interesting what happens at that particular club.
Yeah, because they've been so good throughout most of the season. I don't know. Maybe it's just like mainstream Andy that doesn't hate the idea of Zlatan and Rooney finding their ways into the postseason.
Yeah.
Kind of do want to see that.
Can I be honest?
No offense to Montreal and Real Salt Lake fans.
This is me rooting for a Mike Pecky meltdown. We haven't had
one. Oh, yeah.
We haven't had one in a while. That's what I'm looking for.
They are the stuff of legend.
Well, whenever he does one, it never doesn't make this show. It's always on this show.
Yeah.
We are true to that, at least.
It's why he's one of my favorite people in this sport, because he's so raw and just like...
And intense.
Yeah, but I think it's great. I think this podcast was great. I really enjoyed this. We got in the Troy Deeney clip. We talked some U.S. soccer. I think this was all around fun.
We also told people that we wanted them to rate us and leave comments and nice things to say on iTunes in particular, because I'm really worried about the person who left the last bad comment. It's got to be erased. Please, flood to our iTunes feed.
Man, this is...
Leave a review.
This is affecting you as if you were me. Like, normally I'm the one who is shattered by this stuff, but like... You're really troubled right now.
Andrew, when someone attacks our sponsors, I say no.
Yeah, you've always... That's you.
That's solid me.
Well, hey, this was fun, man. To you, I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
I'll see you.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.